Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're going to be talking about the stabbing that took place in Pennsylvania. It's amazing what's taking place with the violence in the world. But this young, I believe it was a 16-year-old young man, sophomore, in Franklin Regional High School. And he just went on to begin to stab 21 counts of crimes towards, you know, stabbing these students. We'll be talking more about that, but it's just a tragedy. We'll be showing you a video of this young man, and they say his parents were like, what did I tell you that they called?
Ozzie and Harriet.
Ozzie and Harriet. And the truth is, it doesn't matter what your parents are like, you are responsible for your own behavior. Mm-hmm. And you'll find out, society is saying over and over again, you know, let's blame something on someone else. And it's like, but how come you're the one that goes to jail? How come you're the
right.
one that that suffers? How come you're the one that has this broken life? And it's like, don't you get it? You're being held personally accountable for your own decisions. And so we would encourage you, hopefully get a chance to be able to talk about that today as well. God is just unfolding some amazing things. Some amazing things are taking place. And I want you to be encouraged, because even though you're seeing things on the horizon and maybe you've been listening to us talk about it, you've been listening to us talk about, you know, some of those things that are coming. There's two things we're talking about in regards to prophetically speaking. One is that some difficult times are coming. But it's just like, you know, come on. I mean, you know this. If you're making bad grades on your report card, and if you have a loving parent, you know some bad days are coming if you don't get your grades right.
That's right.
It's not a surprise. You can look at society today, and you can see the decisions and what's taking place in society, and you can say, my goodness, you know, it's time for probably some discipline to be able to bring things back into a place of order again. And so that's coming. But the second thing, you have to understand that a good parent is doing that because they love you and have a plan for your life, and they want you to succeed, and they want you to make it. And I mean, think about it. Why would they be investing so much in you to be able to break that particular bad habit or turn in the right direction? And, you know, and this is what the Lord said, you know, the Word of God says, you know, us being evil, understand that concept. How much more perfect does our Heavenly Father understand that He disciplines those He calls sons? You know, consider hardship as discipline. He's treating you as a son. Think about this. This is what He says too. He says, Jesus, although He was a son, He learned obedience. I mean, Jesus learned obedience. And what difficult times do, and obedience is not everybody, you know, don't do this and don't do that. Obedience is doing what God told you to do. So there, 10 people could be walking in obedience to God doing 10 different things. Like one could have been sent to one continent, and one could be sent to another continent. Mm-hmm. One could be sent to a nation. One could be sent to the workplace. One could be sent to a marriage, and they're supposed to have, you know, godly marriage, whatever. But obedience is obeying God. That's what I'm talking about. And he says, even Jesus himself learned obedience from what he suffered. Although he was a son, mm-hmm. he learned obedience. And it's like the enemy has just really whacked people's perception of what he attacked it, of what the vocabulary is and what family really is. And Ozzie and Harriet were actors. But a true family, if you read the Word of God, has issues and problems and all this stuff. But God comes down in the midst of that. And those who say yes to God, He begins to His grace and His mercy brings that family to a place you thought you could never go before. Ozzie and Harriet were actors. You know, Bill Cosby and his wife, Miss Cosby, which is actually, I know who her husband really is, the basketball player, but Rashad, announcer. And, but they were actors. That wasn't real. Let me tell you the mm-hmm. Let me tell you the true story. The true story of what was going on during that beautiful program of this family, this American family, the Cosby Show,
right.
was Bill Cosby's son, I believe Bill Cosby Jr., I believe, but Bill Cosby's son was going to college. While he was doing this program, showing us a great example of how we should be as a family and how we should see all families this mm-hmm. way, that his son was changing a tire on the side of the road. And while he was going to college, in the middle of just on the road, you get a flat tire, you right. change the tire. And somebody drove by and they shot and killed Bill Cosby's son. This man who was setting a good example for all of us as a family, how a family should look, right. how we should operate, how we should respect the family, uh-huh. and how we should respect our parents, and we can do well in this environment. Well, that was a show. The reality is life's painful. Terrible things happen. And the amazing thing is that he continued to set the example for us in a program and a show while he suffered personally a great loss. And I just have the greatest respect for, you know, Bill Cosby in that. It was just amazing. He wrote a book. What's his book? People. He said, Come on, People, or something like that. Something. It was so good that, man, I got the book and I saw it again. I got, I got to get that book. And I'm like, I already had to put another copy of the book. And he's just talking about realities, you know, how things really are. And so but that's reality. You know, reality is we talk about Abraham Lincoln and all the things that he did, but he had like failure after failure after failure relationship. His wife reportedly was insane. And so he's in the White House trying to lead the government while his wife is tapping into the tills reportedly and just Looney Tunes. And his son dies. He suffers from depression. But yet we go to his statue, his memorial there at the Lincoln Memorial, and we forget about the realities of life. You know, you go and you look again and again, even of God's generals. You think about Mariah Eder and how powerful she was used as a general in the Lord. But she lost every single one of her children. Every one of her children were lost because she was delaying her call of obedience. She was like, I will eventually. And she lost all of her children. The enemy just came in and did that. And so this is what she writes. This is what she says. And then, so she obeys the Lord and God begins to move. Power of God's so strong that when she's on a stage in California, one particular man comes in there to, just obviously taken over by the adversary, comes in there and starts to come from behind her to attack her. And immediately the power of God hits him. His tongue swells up in his mouth where he can't even talk. And he falls back and hits the ground and basically goes into a vision of hell.
Oh, wow.
And he sees hell. And so that's reality. At the same time, her husband is arrested, or not arrested, but just exposed by while she's ministering. He went out and had committed adultery on her. Yeah, committed adultery. And the papers just, they love that. And it's like, well, hello, we're... Read David.
Hello.
Yeah. We got to quit saying that we're something that we're not. We are real folks that need Jesus. The fact that we even say that I'm a Christian means at some point I came to the reality that I am, all of my right things are wrong. All my righteousnesses are filthy rags. Nothing I've done is acceptable, that I cannot save myself. That's the whole thing of saying you're a Christian. It's not saying that you've walked on the water. It's saying you're drowning, and that God, you cried out to a savior. You needed a savior to be able to save you. That's what the whole thing is. So when somebody says, you know, I'm a Christian, and they understand who they were when they were first found, lying in their pool of blood, when God comes by and says, live, because he talks about that. He says, but then you forgot who you were. And where you were when I found you, remember that? And he said, I started blessing you. Then you started thinking you was something. And you started, you know, that kind of stuff. And it's like, so we have to understand, don't try to hide. This is the realities. Life's, I mean, and every individual in your family, every individual in your gathering, every individual in your community answers alone before God. Nobody's their excuse. They stand alone before the throne of God. And you need to let them know that. Which means also you need to take ownership for your own sin. You need to say, you know what? I got to do what's right. I got to do what's right. And of all the things, and we're fixing to go to break, but of all the things that that this particular African pastor could have experienced when he got in a car accident and he died. He died and he went to hell. You know, we have people that die and go to heaven and they come back.
Right.
Well, this pastor dies and goes to hell. And so he looks at the flames of hell and he sees four other pastors, you know, and you have to understand, you know, some people call themselves a pastor, you know, but that doesn't mean they are one,
right.
But there are some that have been, they've gone astray. So it's just because somebody calls himself a pastor. As a matter of fact, they call themselves a pastor, if their business, you know, anyway, so anyway, if it says incorporated, anyway, so listen, so all this guy's going to hell. He went to hell. He got in a car accident. He went to hell. And we have his testimony. We actually have his testimony on. We can show you him this, and hopefully, maybe we can find it and make it an available link. But he said he looked into the fires and he saw his pastor friends and other people, but his pastor friends. And this is the reason why, because this is what they were saying. Of all the things they could have said, they were saying this. Give the money back.
Hmm.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Give the money. I was like, repent, maybe deal with your sin. Go back and tell people hell is real. This is what he said. This is what he said, ma'am. This is what he said, sir. This is what he said he heard them saying from the fires of hell. Give the money back.
Hmm.
You think about this. We're spending $1.3 million per baptized believer. We're turning everything over to the government to be able to heal people and take care of folks and everything else. 97% of the church is robbing from God, according to George Barna, in tithes and offerings. And it's like, give the money back. You
wow.
know, get the money back. Don't think if we don't honor God with what's his, that he won't take everything that he's given us and take it through high taxation, just like he did through Israel with Jehoiakim. Listen, it's a definite. God's the same yesterday, day, and forever. He loves us, and he's going to get our attention. But I want to encourage you today that if your family has issues and you're going through struggles and stuff's going around, you know, go find, if you're in a gathering of believers in a church that criticizes you because you're going through troubles, find somebody who understands we all go through troubles. We all go through struggles. Even Samuel, we'll talk more about this coming up from the break, but I want to tell you a few men of God that people lift up today, like Abraham Lincoln, and the reality of our lives. We are talking about the reality of family, mm-hmm. and that families have issues, the fact that we're human beings. And don't forget, also, we're four programs back to back. We're going to be talking about this Pennsylvania a stabbing that took place in the school, which is tragic. We're also going to release today the wisdom moment. You need these wisdom moments because that's how you're going to defeat all this particular information. And but just got to look at, begin to understand the very first family ever created, before there was any children at all,
mm-hmm.
was a husband and wife. And in that, they had issues. The husband and wife had issues. It was only okay when it was just one. But once he decided to be two, or God thought it was, you know, it wasn't good because he says, you know, you have some relationships. Doesn't necessarily mean marriage, but his relationship is, he's like, I thought that was the answer. I just want to be alone. And so, he's like, you know, Adam said, you know, you're eating us out of house and home. We're losing the garden here. You know, she went and ate from the forbidden fruit. He went and ate what she ate. And in the moment the order changes in the relationship, it's going to be really rough. And secondly, okay, let's go. Okay, what happens to the next generation when they have children? So here you have mom and dad, Mr. Adam and Mrs. Eve. And you think about it, that they have children. So it's obviously, I mean, he's strolling with God. I mean, these parents, Adam's talking with God. You know what I'm saying? He's talking with God. I mean, that's fresh before all of us, before like texting. I mean, you know what I'm saying? This is before cars.
Right.
This is before television. And just God, the garden and creation. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's really good when you don't even know these things exist because it doesn't even, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then so they have these children. And so they have a desire, Cain and Abel have a desire to have this relationship with God too, because their parents had the parents had this relationship with God because they were making sacrifices to him, you know.
Right.
And so there's a little contention that went on between the two siblings. And how many parents are going like, I prayed and I raised my children right? I mean, give it a break. How many people go, I don't know what's wrong with my kid? They're human beings.
That's right.
Everybody's human. You know, it's an unrealistic expectation of your children to think because you were their parent that there's some supernatural thing.
Right.
I mean, they're human. They got to find God like you found God. And mm-hmm. we train them up in the way they should go when they get old. And sometimes it takes a long time for them to get old. They won't depart from it.
Right.
And so here, you know, this is like the first offspring after God's offspring. So God births Adam.
Mm.
He pulls Eve out of the first thing he birthed. And these two birth these children, their first children on the face of the earth. And they had squabbles. They were jealous.
Mm.
You know, he's got a closer relationship with God than me, right?
Right.
It's been a long argument for a long, long time. God loved them both. God talked to them both, by the way, because, you know, Abel put up an offering and God accepted it, and Cain wasn't accepted. But God was saying to Cain, listen, why are you walking around so downcast? He's talking to him. God is talking to him too.
Wow.
But he couldn't get his focus off of somebody else got a blessing and I didn't get it.
Right.
But God was talking to you, Cain. He's going, listen, why don't you just do what's right? Why are you so long-faced? Why are you so long-faced? Why don't you just do what's right? You know, sin is crouching at your door waiting to devour you. And so he had an option. God is talking to this other son, like he talked to his dad, and obviously like he talked to Abel. And he said, listen, this is the strategy. You're human. You have a sin nature. You just need to make this right.
Mm-hmm.
You need to make this right. And it'll work. Outside of that, sin's crouching at your door. And so he chose to take his own counsel, the counsel of darkness, and he went and killed his brother. So the very first marriage was a mess in regards to, it wasn't the, was what did they say?
Ozzy and Harriet.
It wasn't Ozzy and Harriet, which are actors. It wasn't Mr. and Mrs. Cosby.
Right.
It was husband and wife. Who the wife didn't follow what God was saying, and the husband followed his wife instead of following God. That's what happened, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in the context of that, whose children were, one was a murderer. One was, think about it, you can have a murderer in your family, but to have the victim of a murderer and the murderer in your family, you're like, it's a concentrated crime. You know, it's like, okay. And if you'll look, that's a consistent thing throughout human families, and our families are so small right now compared to what they used to be, except for the 18 and counting crew, whatever they're called.
Duggars.
Yeah. And which I think is going to be a role model for in the future, if we can take that capsule of stuff and for our next generation. Anyway, so this is the first family. You want to hear about the first family? That's the first family.
Hmm.
And the God. And so to say that because Adam's and Eve's marriage is all kind of messed up, and that their children is, one was murdered and one was a murderer, is to say that God is evil. Think about that. That's the ultimate. Who are you going to blame?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Who are you going to blame? And how many people are blaming other people for their own choices? God gave Adam and Eve a choice. He gave them everything except one thing. You got to have a choice. You don't have a choice, it's not real. And he gave them a choice. And he said, don't eat from this tree, but you can eat from anything else you want to in the garden. And they chose to eat from, they chose to sin. They chose to fall. They chose to do what God said not to do. Okay, God's graceful, merciful. He protected them. He got them out of the garden. And he began a redemption plan to be able to bring us in, which he did through his son, Jesus Christ. Yes, but they did fall. Man fell. When they fell, everyone fell. And their children did commit murder. I know somebody right now is just a beautiful man, and had a young son, and his son happened to be driving the wrong person to the wrong place, and the guy got out of the car and went into this particular business and shot and murdered the store clerk.
Mm.
And jumped, come back out the store, and took off and said, let's go. And so his son don't even know this guy went in. And by the way, this guy who he thought he was going to kill, it was the wrong person, was working that night.
Oh, wow.
This is many years ago, but guess what? He's in his 40s, and he's still today serving a life sentence because he put the wrong person in the passenger seat. And his father is still without his son in his life.
Wow.
But is that any different than how it's always been? I mean, think about Jacob. Here's, you know, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Understand that his sons were bickering and fighting and jealous, and they sold one of their brothers into slavery. They were going to kill him, but they sold him into slavery. And they went on living their life like, okay, just don't bring that up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it didn't even prick their conscience until they became desperate. And then they had to go to Egypt to find out that their brother who they sold into slavery was Joseph. And he was running Egypt now. But understand this. This is family. And the thing about it is God redeems family. Just like in the prison, when the prison guard thought everything was over because the gates were open, he said, wait, I'm still here. God will save you and your family, which means we all need saving. Your whole family needs to be saved. And to put some non-truth, righteous statement over your children or your spouse and saying you got to be perfect, it's not real. But I can tell you this, you got to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, because outside of that, all of our righteousness, all of it, no matter what it is not worth anything. It's filthy rags. But with Jesus, through Jesus, and this is all the Father's going to do, he's going to look down at us and he's going to say, do you look like my son? Do you love like my son? Do you acknowledge my son? Have you made my son the Lord of your life? Have you accepted his sacrifice and my sacrifice for your sins? And if you have done that, you're going to enter in. Well done. Well done. And if you haven't, I'm telling you, maybe today's your day. Go to meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories, how we met our father through his son, Jesus Christ. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if we're not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFNTV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. Did you know that VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country, in that order, and Israel, as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.